Going to read out of the book of 1 Kings this morning, 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to talk to you about always enough now. We always hear there'll always be enough, but later on. No, there's enough now. God is always present. He's not a God of just yesterday. He's a present Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. But let's notice the Word of God in 1 Kings chapter 17. Beginning of verse 8. And this is about the prophet Elijah, great prophet. 17 and 8. Then the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city, and indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour and a bin and a little oil, a little jar in the oil in the jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Father, I pray your blessings on the ministry of the word of God. Talk to the hearts of people as only you can do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. People always wonder if there's going to be enough. In our day, we're going to be enough. Is there going to be enough gas to run, drive, and cause my car to go down the highway? It doesn't work without it. Am I going to have enough grocery money because groceries keep going up all the time? Church, just remember the word of the Lord. This is New Testament here, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall, not maybe, not perhaps, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Maybe not all of our wants, not all of carnal desires, but our need. God shall supply your need according to his growth. Here in the chapter we're reading from, 1 Kings 17, we're talking about a time of Israel. It wasn't a good time. They under the reign of King Ahab, was one of the most wicked rulers of ever. And under his reign, it was a time of wickedness, it was a time of idolatry, a time of departure from the law of God. They had forgotten or didn't remember or didn't even take no heed to the Ten Commandments. And on top of that, to make matters worse, Ahab married a pagan woman named Jezebel. And Jezebel worsened things more than ever. And back up a page, chapter 16, verse 31. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he even set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And so we seen God had sent a drought on the land. And Elijah prophesied about this, chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, one of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, can you imagine the prophet here looks Ahab in the eye and says this, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Basically, he was saying, it's not going to rain until I say it can. Of course, this was a word from God. And then God told Elijah, he said, I want you to go somewhere else. Verse 3, get thee from away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. And he drank from the brook. After a while, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And so we see here God sends a drought, and a drought was one of the signs that God told the people that if you serve other gods, you drift from me and you turn away from me and start worshiping and serving other gods, there's going to be some things happen. One of those things, there won't be any rain there for your crops. And no rain meant crops failed, no crops. And if there was no crops, there was no food. They didn't run down to Walmart or Brookshire's to buy something to eat then. They depended on the rain for their crops to grow so they could have food to eat. But Elijah prophesies, God is tired of your idolatry. God is tired of the way you're living. God does not want you to worship other gods, other Baals. And so God, it's not going to rain until I hear from God. He says it's going to rain. Okay? And so they had been under Jezebel's instruction. They had set up an idol to the false god named Baal. B-A-A-L, as far as I can tell. And Baal was thought to be the sky god, the god of the weather. But there would be no rain for 3.5 years. It showed that Baal was not really a god at all. And God calls Elijah to separate himself from Ahab and idolatry. And the man of God would listen to God's command. And he said, I want you to just get out of here for a while. And he goes and dwells by the brook Cherith. And Cherith means separation. But it was a place where there was water. And people in this world didn't have any water in the land. It wasn't raining. And water was a scarce thing and a valuable thing then. And God says, I'm going to take care of you, Elijah. You go down to the brook Cherith. And I'll provide for you there. And he drank from the water of the brook Cherith. And God calls Elijah to separate himself from Ahab and idolatry. And God calls us to separate ourselves from anything that takes God's place. Because whatever takes God's place is idolatry. But God would provide for his servants, and God will provide for all of those that are loyal to him. And in the Bible, when God says he loves us, love equals loyalty, and God is loyal to his people because he loves us. And here God did an unusual thing here, and as Elijah was here by the brook Cherith, he was fed, and the ravens came and brought him something to eat in the morning and the evening. And that seems strange because ravens were, according to Mosaic law, an unclean bird. And so, yet God used these unclean birds to bring him something to eat morning and evening. Now, I know we could stop there and talk about a lot of unclean birds today, but we won't do that. And so, God provided for him morning and evening. And God can provide and did provide. This same God had fed Israel in the wilderness with manna from heaven for 40 years. And God would still provide. And each day there was always enough for Elijah. Because God is always enough. And God always provides enough of whatever is needed for you to continue on in your walk with him in life. And with God, there's always enough. during spiritual famine. Sometimes during your spiritual famine, you're not always as close to God as you want to be. And during your spiritual famine, when times when it's hard to pray, when things seem to go wrong, or when tragedy strikes, or job source is not too good, or when security is threatened, God is still enough. We live in times of uncertainty, Iran war, world under the threat of terrorists. The world is unstable. But let me tell you something, friend. The God that we serve is not unstable. God is not wondering what in the world is going to happen. God knows exactly everything you're going through. God knows what you think before you think it. God knows what you're going to do before you do it. God knows everything. And whether or not you like you're comfortable with that, it doesn't matter. God still knows. He's God. Praise the Lord. Okay. So in the book of Psalms, it says, Psalm 62 and 8, it said, trust in Him at all times. Scripture doesn't say trust in God when it's convenient. Trust in God when you're feeling good and everything's going good. Trust in God at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. That's Psalm 62 and 8. We make the choice to trust God when things are good and when things are not good, when you're feeling good and when you're not feeling good. And if you're not feeling God is good, it's not because God has abandoned you or left you. Good times come and go. If you've lived very long, you know that. But God is not unstable. God provides stability for His children, for His people. You may not have backslidden as Israel had, but you may feel long to feel close to God as you once did. You need reassurance. And God, He always allows you to sense His presence and the presence of the Holy Spirit to reassure you that He's there, He's always enough. And I can tell you, we don't serve an absent Jesus. We serve a present Jesus who's always available, who's always on time, every time, who always doesn't need to show up. He's already there. Amen. And whatever you're going through and you say, if I can get past this, remember, God is already there before you ever get there to the hard time. He's always present. He's a present Jesus. When you fail God and you fall short, you say, well, I don't do that. Well, yes, you have. When you fall short of the glory of God, God has enough grace for you. Aren't you glad for grace? Yeah. I thank God for grace. And it's something that needs to be preached on a lot. You know, I grew up in a time where there wasn't much grace preached. It'd send you to the lake of fire for near nothing. But God's grace is always there, and the grace of God leads you to repentance. God hasn't forgotten you. He still loves you the same, and He's unchanging. He still cares. He still has plans for you. He still has purpose and reason for you to be alive and well today. God loves you. God cares about you. Amen. I'm not just telling you that. God is telling you that from the Scriptures. Jeremiah 29:11, a great scripture that people know, many people know, where it says God speaks to people and He says and He speaks to you today. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. They say, well, Pastor, I don't see much hope in our society. I don't see much hope in things. But let me tell you something. Jesus comes to give hope. Not only hope now, not only hope sometime, but hope forever. Eternal hope. Praise God. And so Jeremiah says, God's come to give you thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Verse 12, he says, then you will call upon me and go to me and pray to me and I will listen to you. You ever been around somebody just didn't listen? Is there ever a time when you didn't listen? I'm not asking for a raise of hands. There's always been times we didn't listen when we should have. But God says here, the creator of heaven and earth, who spoke the world and the universe into existence, he said, come unto me, call unto me, and I will listen to you. One of several billion people upon the earth, but I will listen to you. How can he do that with everybody? He's God, that's how. And God always has enough peace to spread around. He doesn't run out. God doesn't run out of anything. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, which there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is always has enough. He's always enough. He has enough hope to give you hope. He has enough love to give you love. He has enough peace to give you peace. He has enough grace for whatever you face in this life. And I want to tell you, he says in his word, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You may feel weak, but God's not weak. You may not feel strong, but God is powerful, almighty, all-knowing, all-present. He's God. He's always enough. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's our part. We got to seek God with all of our heart. God, when you know, God knows when you're just walking along and say, God bless all people, amen. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. And so there's always enough when you serve God. He's always here. He always cares. Amen. And also we see in this passage of Scripture that God uses unlikely sources. You say, well, I want God to operate my way. Forget it. Just trust God. And it was time for Elijah to move forward. And surely he didn't enjoy the good news or the bad news that Jezebel was in charge, and Jezebel ordered all the prophets of God to be executed, and she was a wicked woman. And so God says, I've got a place for you. And the well had dried, the water had dried up in the Lake Cherith. And so God says, I want you to go to a certain city, to the city of Zarephath. It was away from Israel, kind of. And he said, I want you to go there. He said, I've instructed a widow to pray to help you there. And I'm sure Elijah thinks, a widow to help me? Because in that day, widows had no means of survival or support or the necessities of life. They depended on somebody to give them life's necessities. Amen. But there was no Old Testament welfare program. There was no freebies. No Democrats in charge. Amen. The only welfare program they had was when they were gathering crops, people that couldn't afford to live very good, they would go behind the peoples that were reaping the crops and they would pick up the leftovers of the fruit and the stalks and the things that might be left over that the reapers had left. And so that was their way of providing for themselves. And so who does God send Elijah to? A widow. And widows are not a low class to God. They're not now, they weren't then. But God has promised to provide for all people. Amen. And with God, there's always a way. There's always enough. And so Elijah goes to Zarephath. And listen, it's hard to see Elijah's thinking here. He's a man of God. He's the prophet of God. He goes to Zarephath, and he sees a widow there picking up sticks. And he comes to it and he sees the widow and he said, would you please bring me a little drink of water? And just like a preacher, as she was going to get it, he called her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Not only a drink of water, but I want something to eat too. So she said, as the Lord lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. She was in bad shape. She said, I have a son also. I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. She expected to die from the famine in the land because she had nothing to eat, little to eat, only for one more meal. That's all she had. And God says, Elijah, I want you to go ask her for a drink and some bread. Verse 10, so he rose and went to Zarephath and came to the gate of the city, and a widow was there gathering sticks. And he said, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink it. And he said, I'd like to have something to eat too. It's my version. So she said, as your God lives, I don't have anything to give you. And this is where Elijah seems to be selfish. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, do not fear. You go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake first. Yeah, really, you're telling the widow that has hardly anything, said, just put me first. It says, make me a first small cake first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. So Elijah was saying here, if you'll put me first, in essence, put God first, then you'll have some to make for yourself and your son. And then he gives a word from God here. Not everybody says they have a word from God has a word from God. Not everybody that says God told me to tell you is God didn't say nothing to him a lot of times. But verse 14, thus says the Lord God of Israel, if you're going to go and make me a cake first, I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry until the Lord sends rain on the land, on the earth. And so the prophet's request there seems selfish, yet God would use this to reveal his faithfulness to this widow for one more meal and convince death by starvation. She was convinced that starvation by death would follow if she didn't have this, make this last meal for her and her son. But it seemed like a selfish request, but she obeyed. And both the prophet and the widow were learning all what we all must learn, live by faith. And so she went, she prepared it, and the bin of and the oil and the bread never quit till the day that God sent rain on the earth. And I don't know how long it was, but there was always enough to make one more cake. There was always enough to make one more drink. There was always enough there for one more meal. Can I tell you today, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can still make something out of nothing. He can still provide for you. He can still walk with you, talk with you, and lead you through whatever life may bring. I stand here, many of you also stand as testimony that God has done just that for you. Let's trust Him. Let's live for Him. Let's serve Him. Let's seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll add everything we need to it. Lord. So she had to live by faith, so did Elijah. And real faith comes into view here. The Bible tells us faith without works is dead. Elijah could have said, yeah, Lord, I believe you'll provide for the widow, and he just sat there and did nothing. No, he said, I want you to get up and go. Don't just believe, go, work. The widow had to believe that this was a man of God. Had to believe that she and her son would be provided for, and she acted on faith. She prepared food for the prophet, but Elijah had to have faith too. He had to believe when God sent him to a widow. He had to believe that God had sent him to this widow. He had to believe that God was greater than the famine that was in the land caused by the idolatry of Ahab. He had to believe that God is greater than what appeared to be impossible. And you and I, we have to believe also that God is greater than society's problems. We have to believe that God has resources that we do not see. We believe what God did in Scripture, He still does today. And you know, I read on, I don't know if it was internet or Facebook or something, you know, I don't stay there a long time because there will be something there you don't need, but where it was requiring to that would require teachers to teach children about the, I don't know how to say it. There's a word for all of it. That the gay thing was okay. And one mother stood up against that and said, no, put my son here. I won't want him to be taught that. I'm going to stand for that. Not going to let my son, my child that's going under your tutelage to be taught all of that junk. And people stood against her, surely. But I want to tell you something. When you stand for the truth, God will supply your need. God will help you. My God shall supply your need. If it's a physical need, it's a need for food. If it's a need for faith and for power to stand against evil, God will give you the grace and God will give you the strength. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God who's powerful and mighty and gracious. And he cares about you today, not just people in the Bible, but you're as important today as people in the Bible were. He cares for you. We must believe that God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The book of Malachi says, I am the Lord. I do not change. He's all-knowing. He sees you. He hears you. He loves you. Trust him. We must believe that God provided atonement through his Son. We must believe he still forgives sins, regardless of how dark the sins may be, that God still restores people, that God still provides for people. We must believe that God's love for us is unending. We must believe that God doesn't run out of grace. God doesn't run out of love. God doesn't run out of patience like you and I do. God doesn't run out of hope. God doesn't run out of anything that we need. He's promised to supply all of our need. Let's remember, church. Remember God's promises. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me, Jesus said. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of God, which is spoke by Elijah. Amen. So we need God, because he's always enough. Praise the Lord.